Hello and welcome to another episode of Insights from Cycles Friendly Church with me, Lynn Davis, and Matthew Horspool. And today we will be looking at Braille. When you are completely blind, like Matthew and myself, we rely very much on Braille to do a lot of things. So the question is, where's the best way to get the Braille from?
Well, and you'd think, wouldn't you, that the answer to that question would be obvious. The best place to get Braille from is, of course, Torch Trust. And that's the end of the episode. Thanks for listening. it's sort of like that. It depends what Braille you want, of course. And it depends whether the Braille's actually available or not. There is Braille available through Torch Trust. We do a lot of Braille, actually. We do Bible passages, hymn books, magazines, devotionals, courses, Christian fiction. There is a whole host of Braille available from Torch, and I would definitely encourage you to contact Torch if you're looking for something in Braille. That's definitely a good first port of call. But there are other places that do Braille as well. If you're an Anglican, actually, you might find RNIB surprisingly helpful. Not because they wouldn't be helpful, but because actually a lot of the Anglican stuff that you need was brailled by RNIB. RNIB brailled the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. They've brailled the Kevin Mayhew staple of hymn books. So that's things like Complete Anglican Hymns Old and New and New Hymns and Worship Songs. They've brailled Hymns Ancient and Modern and all of its derivatives. So Common Praise and things like that, Hymns and Songs for Refreshing Worship. And they've also brailled the New English Hymnal. So, yeah, lots of Anglican stuff available through RNIB. They also do things like the annual order of service for a festival of nine lessons and carols. And they used to do, I don't know if they still do it, but they certainly used to do the Common Worship Lectionary. So if you needed access to the lectionary in Braille for some reason, not with all the readings in it, it just had the table of which readings you should be using. But you could get the lectionary in Braille from RNIB if that was something that you wanted.
And of course, these Braille resources, although you're mentioning that they're very Anglican and some of them really might be, a lot of the songs and hymns are also used in other denominations. So, for example, I'm attending a Baptist church and we certainly sing songs that are sung by Anglicans and Methodists and other denominations as well. So you might get some use out of these resources even if you're not an Anglican.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that's really important, particularly when you're dealing with hymn books, is to get the edition of the hymn book absolutely spot on when you start to make inquiries and be as precise as possible. So it's no good contacting us and saying, oh, well, we use the red hymn book. Where can we get that from? Because actually, we don't know what the red hymn book is. If you say red, ancient and modern, I might happen to know you're talking about ancient and modern New Standard, and I might happen to tell you that it's from RNIB. But if you can tell me for yourself that it's ancient and modern New Standard that you're after, that's a real help. And it's particularly true in cases like Mission Praise, because the original Mission Praise actually was transcribed by Torch Trust. So we in our library still have Mission Praise with about 300 hymns in it and Mission Praise 2. But if you're looking for more recent editions of Mission Praise, it's through RNIB. So do be really, really specific about what it is that you're looking for. If you're looking for Songs of Fellowship, it's RNIB. Sometimes you get things through Scottish Braille Press. So, for example, the Methodist hymn book, the original Methodist hymn book was actually brailled by Scottish Braille Press. More recently, the Methodists are using Singing the Faith, and Singing the Faith has been transcribed by Torch, and we've also done the Salvation Army hymn book as well. So Torch, yeah, we've done a lot. Torch, RNIB, Scottish Braille, they're probably your three best bets for where to get commercially available Braille.
But of course, Sideloss Friendly Church is a very good place to start if you don't know where to get the Braille from, because as you can hear, Matthew is very knowledgeable and will be able to direct you onto the right place. But I was just thinking about the volumes, because we've been talking a lot about volumes and how Braille books are a lot of volumes, and hymn books are great big things in print. I mean, they are heavy, and if you have a hymn book drop on your foot, you would probably scream. So just imagine a hymn book in Braille, how many volumes there are. So one thing which might be helpful is if the church keeps hymn books, so that it would not necessarily be the responsibility of the person from the congregation to bring the hymn books, because it could be different volumes that are being used and they could be heavy to drag along. And depending on how they got there, whether it would be by walking or by bus or something, it might not be very conducive for them to carry it along. So that would be an option. Of course, if somebody's happy to bring their own hymn books along, then that's wonderful. But for the church to have a copy would be a good sign of a sight loss friendly church who would be happy to provide their congregation members with the resources they needed. And if the hymns for that day are chosen from different volumes, then of course make sure that the person have access to these different volumes. It does take a little bit longer to find the hymns in Braille than it does in print, I think. So it might be an idea, for example, if you know the hymns in advance that you're going to use as a church leader, maybe bookmark the particular pages or put little cards in there or something. It could be anything that sticks out so that the person would be able to find them easily. But somebody who knows their way around the hymn book very well can obviously find it very quickly in Braille as well, because as you use the resources, you will know where in the volume they would be likely to be, because you can skim read the headlines and then you know that, oh, okay, this is A, B, so this hymn is going to be AV, for example, Ave Maria. So yeah, there are different ways of doing that, but there's certainly quite a lot of work that the church can do that won't take very long, but that will make a huge difference to how easy it would be for somebody with sight loss who uses Braille to join in with the worship.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. And particularly if we're talking about hymn books, labelling is absolutely key. If you buy a hymn book from RNIB, actually it will include in print and in Braille on the front cover of each volume the number of hymns that are in each volume. So for example, it'll say volume 3, hymns 300 to 399. Now, I haven't actually made that up. There are two different ways of ordering hymn books. You can either order them seasonally or you can order them alphabetically. If they're ordered seasonally, the transcriber will do as good a job as possible at splitting it at the seasons. So you might have a book, for example, that takes you from hymns 1 to 77 is what New Standard does. So that takes you through to Easter. And then volume 2 starts at 78, which then takes you on, you know, through the next bit of the Christian year and so on and so on. If it's alphabetical, though, it will generally just be volumized by the hundreds. So, you know, if you've got a hymn book with 1,500 hymns in, it will actually be in about 14 volumes. You know, if it had 1,550 hymns, that would then go into a 15th volume. And of course, there's also the indexes at the back, so you need a spare volume to put the indexes in as well. If for some reason those hymn books have come and they're not labelled, or at least they haven't got the hymn numbers on, get a pen and write on the books what the hymn numbers are, because it will make it a lot easier for a sighted church member to get the right hymn books out. And potentially, if you're singing four or five hymns, you could potentially need four or five books. So it's a really good idea. If the person with sight loss is keeping the hymn books at home, then please, for goodness sake, be as prepared as you can be about those hymns. I actually do this. I keep my own hymn books at home. The cathedral doesn't keep my hymn books in its library. And, you know, I've got so sick and tired of reading hymns from big, great volumes now that I actually retype them. So I have the original master copies of the hymn books, and then I have a folder of loose leaf sheets that I've typed up with like the 100 most common hymns or what have you, so that I don't have to drag the books along all the time.
Yeah, but I think it definitely takes a level of conscientiousness to do that, which you obviously do have, and which a lot of people might have and a lot of people won't. So yeah, there are many ways to get around it. I think, as usual, is just think, ask, act, and just deal with that according to the individual that you are dealing with in your church. I'm similar to you in that I would have the typed up songs because it's just much easier. So as a Baptist, we are using the Songs of Fellowship, and I've had things typed up for me and embossed in Braille, and everything that I get in any kind of torch setting, which is Braille related. So I also help out at the Torch Fellowship group in Brighton, and I always get my stuff brailled. So I keep those songs and I keep those hymns, and I will have them for later. And yeah, it's been serving me really well, I have to say. So that is a very good way of doing it.
Yeah, so you mentioned embossers, and this takes us on to probably the last thing that we're going to talk about in this episode. But what happens if something is not available in Braille, or if something's available in Braille, but it's just too bulky? You know, somebody needs to read a passage of 10 verses from the Bible and doesn't want to have to bring the whole volume of the Bible in. Embossers are wonderful. Embossers are machines that connect up to a computer, and through the use of translation software, they act a little bit like a printer. But instead of going into Microsoft Word and typing it up and printing it off, you would go into Word and type it up and then import the Word document into the embosser software, which would then convert it into Braille, and then it would get embossed in Braille. So you get hard copies. This stuff is very, very expensive, though. The embosser itself will cost about probably £2,500 upwards. The translation software could cost an extra £500 on top. Is it really fair, do you think, to ask churches to have an embosser in their church if they've got a person with sight loss in the church?
I think it entirely depends on the church and the size of the church. So there is a big Baptist church in Brighton, and as a smaller church, my church can ask for things to be brailled or embossed into Braille. And that isn't something that I have been able to actually use because of the way our service preparations work. So I think it's fair if you're a big church. If you're a smaller church, it can be harder because to cover those costs might be really difficult. And not just if you're a big church either, by the way. It could be a big church with a certain amount of blind people that do use Braille. For a smaller church, that's going to be harder because there just isn't the funds, or there might not be the funds. I personally, if I just have a short reading and I absolutely wanted it in Braille, I have an old Perkins Brailler from 1992. And I would just type it up on that. But then again, that requires a level of conscientiousness in the person to have that and to be able to do it. A Perkins Brailler is almost the closest thing you get to sort of handwriting with a machine. It's kind of like a Braille typewriter. So there are ways that people can do it themselves if they have the content, or if they have either got it on the computer and can read it using a screen reading software and then type it up, or having a sighted person telling it to them and then type it up like that. So yeah, there are always options, but I think unless you're a big church with a certain number, to have an embosser isn't something that could be expected. It would be great in a perfect world, but the money is a lot.
Yeah, and as far as we know, there's no funding available. It's not like you can apply for a grant to get an embosser. If funding was available for some reason, then that would be a way to do it. And possibly if the church has secular things going on, so let's say the church is regularly used as an events centre. So for example, the cathedral is regularly hired out for events. There may be grants that, for example, the cathedral could get for producing Braille tourism information and Braille events programs and that sort of thing, that would then allow the cathedral to purchase an embosser that could then be used for its church services. So, you know, it's worth keeping an eye out for things like that. And as Lynn said, it's also worth talking to other churches in the area, because if there's a Churches Together network and all of the churches can access one embosser, or possibly there's an organization for the blind in your local area, it'll be called Resource Center for the Blind, or Vision Center, or My Sight, or, you know, Focus, or something like that. There will be something in most localities, and they will probably have access to a Braille embosser. So the church may be able to access that if you need to produce Braille on demand, so Braille orders of service and things like that. And of course, if there's something that you want in Braille that is not available in Braille elsewhere, as we said right at the start of this episode, then do, of course, contact Torch, and we can definitely see what we can do.
And that's all we've got time for this episode of Insights from Sightless Friendly Church. If you would like to get in touch to ask any questions or comment on anything we've said in this podcast, or to check out Sightless Friendly Church in general, please do so by either calling 01858 438 260, or email us at slfc@torchtrust.org. Alternatively, you can also visit our website at www.torchtrust.org. Thank you very much for listening. From me, Lynn Davis, and Matthew Horspool, goodbye for now.